WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. There are an estimated 10,000 mummies entombed in what is now known as the Valley of the Golden Mummies. My guest, Zahi Hawass, is the director of excavations at this ancient Egyptian cemetery in the Baharia Oasis. Dr. Hawass oversees the pyramids in his capacity as Egypt's Undersecretary of State for the Giza Monuments, and he directed the final stage of conservation of the Great Sphinx. Nearby the pyramids, he discovered the tomb of the pyramid builders. He's currently continuing to excavate that site, as well as the Valley of the Golden Mummies. The tombs in the Valley of the Golden Mummies are about 2,000 years old and are from the period when Egypt was ruled by the Greeks and the Romans. The first tomb was discovered in 1996. In 1999, when Zahi Hawass took over, 105 mummies were found in four tombs.
Then the site began to reveal its secrets. With all these mummies that were excavating, a mummy after a mummy, all of them were cased with gold, and you have scenes depicted on the mummies, such as gods and goddesses of mummification and judgment hall, and you do have, you know, many love stories of a lady holding the hand of her husband, another lady, she's putting makeup because she's going to get married in the afterlife because she died before she get married. And all of them were looking at us as if they were alive.
When you say that these mummies appear to be looking at you as if they were alive, what do you mean by that?
What I mean that under the sand, all these mummies were hidden. With my brush, I take the sand away. I see the eyes of the mummies, and they look at us. If you see these mummies, in my opinion, they were not really mummies. They were live people because we found they are beautifully mummified, beautifully covered with linen, and the gold is wonderful. And they put the scenes of Horus and Osiris and Isis and the four children of Horus, the god of wisdom, Thoth, and all of that with the eyes. They were open. And open sometimes with a smile. And this is why, in my opinion, they looked like alive.
Now, what you're seeing, though, is a mask, isn't it? You're not really seeing the eyes.
No, but there was no mask.
Oh.
They covered the chest with gold, and they covered the face with gold. And therefore, you see the nose, and you see the eyes, and you see the hair, and you see everything. And they did make kind of a crown around the head. Sometimes they put in the back of the head a shape of a hook was made of gold. And therefore, their eyes were looking at us. Can you believe in one tomb last year, we found 43 mummies. But this year, in May, in one tomb, we found 41 mummies. And in this tomb, we found, I cannot tell you, the most beautiful artifacts ever found in any excavations. We found this beautiful wooden frame of a temple, and inside the temple, in bas relief, the deceased in the shape of the god Osiris, surrounded by Anubis, who's the god of guard the cemetery, and the god Horus. And a beautiful color. The coins that we discovered in the hand of each mummy, you'll find a coin. And you know why they put these coins?
Why?
Because they thought it would be like a bribe to the fairy man that he will take them to the afterlife in a boat. And we found pottery vessels for wine storage, to store the wine in it. And we found many bracelets and necklaces made of different stones. And all of this really was surrounded beside the mummy. And sometimes they were afraid that the mummy could be deteriorated, and therefore they put near the mummy a mask. Then if the mummy would be deteriorated, the mask will do the same function to help the deceased to go to the afterlife. And that's really fascinating.
One of the amazing things that you and your team have found is a tomb that you believe houses the mummies of the pyramid builders, the people who actually built the pyramids. What makes you think that the bodies here were of the people who built the pyramids? Everybody used to say that they were built by slaves.
No, this is completely wrong. First of all, this discovery, I'm working in it until now. It's a major important discovery. It is in the shadow of the pyramids, next door to the pyramids. And the reason that I'm telling you that those tombs for the pyramid builders, because of the titles. We found names of title of a man that was the overseer of the west side of the pyramid. Another one was the overseer of the east side of the pyramid. We found titles like the director of the sculptors, the artisans, director of building tombs, all of the titles really connecting with people who were building the pyramid. And we did not find mummies. There were only a skeleton underneath a mud brick tombs. The lower cemetery for the workmen who moved the stones and the upper cemetery for the workmen who actually were the artisans, technicians like draftsmen and craftsmen. Huh. Those people were buried in the shadow of the pyramids. Then if you can think, if they were slaves, they will never be buried beside the pyramids. And number two, you have to know one thing, that the pyramid was a national project of the whole nation. Every household in the north and the south of Egypt used to participate in building the pyramids by sending salted fish or grain, beer, because the national diet for a workman and a king in the time of building the pyramids were drinking beer and eating bread, and therefore sending also workforce. It was like the army today. Everyone has to work for building the pyramid, which will make the king to be a god. And that's really a very impressive thinking, because today if you think about building a pyramid, you will never do it because you don't have the same dedication of the Egyptians.
You also did x-rays of some of the bodies that you found in the tomb of the pyramid builders. And what did you find?
You know, each skeleton that we discover in the tomb of the pyramid builder, we do x-ray for that skeleton. And we found many interesting things. First of all, we found the average height of an Egyptian in that time was about 5 to 6 feet. And we found the average age of death were 30 to 35. And we found that all the skeletons of men and women had a stress on their back because they were involved in moving heavy stuff. Workmen move stones and women participate in baking bread. And because near these excavations, Mark Lehner from the University of Chicago discovered the bakery for making bread and the area for sorting salted fish. I discovered the tombs and the settlement, the camp, that the workmen actually lived in this camp.
How does this information rewrite what we know of ancient Egyptian history?
You know, when Carter, on November 4th of 1922, discovered the tomb of King Tut, it was gold, it was advertising, it was curse mystery. But King Tut was a very young man. The discovery of his tomb did not reconstruct history, but the discovery of the pyramid builders rewrite history. Then many ideas about slavery now, this public notion that everyone thought that the pyramids built by slaves, it is not true. Slavery can build something, huge building, but it will never make anything genius like building the pyramid.
Is it possible that the skilled artisan, artisans designed the pyramids and then slave labor was used to actually move the stones and build them?
No, at all. I told you that the pyramid was a national project of the whole nation. And therefore, every household in the Delta and Upper Egypt used every 3 months to send workmen to help the king. And we discovered the tombs of those people who moved the stones. And they are built in the shadow of the pyramids. And therefore, you have to think that there is no word called slave in ancient Egypt by the meaning that to own someone. Slaves means people work it for the workmen, and they were paid. They were paid by the households, and the artisans were paid by the king. And therefore, I believe that there was no actually this slavery. You know who told us about this?
Who?
Cecil DeMille in his first movies. It's Hollywood. You don't have really any actual evidence at all of slaves building the pyramid. It came only through Hollywood. But now, through this discovery that I made, that I'm proud of it, it tells everyone that the builder of the pyramids were Egyptians. Then people have to stop talking about lost civilization and fingerprints of the gods. You know, the prints of the workmen who built the pyramids. It is actually what we see now. And also in the same time, it tells us that the idea about slavery should be completely disregarded.
My guest is Dr. Zahi Hawass, Director of Excavations at the Valley of the Golden Mummies and Egypt's Undersecretary of State for the Giza Monuments. His new book is called Valley of the Golden Mummies. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is archaeologist Dr. Zahi Hawass, and he's Egypt's Undersecretary of State for the Pyramids of Giza, and he's the field director of the Baharia Oasis excavation, which holds an estimated 10,000 mummies in tombs that were sealed about 2,000 years ago. And Dr. Hawass has written a new book called Valley of the Golden Mummies. Let's talk a little bit about what you've learned about mummies and the beliefs 2,000 years ago in Egypt about death and the afterlife. Let's start with this. Why did Egyptians believe that the body should be mummified and preserved?
You know, the Egyptian believed in the afterlife, and that was a very important belief. And you have to know, thinking about the afterlife means everyone will go to the field of Iyaro. Field of Iyaro means paradise. If you are a good man, you will go to paradise. And therefore, to be in the afterlife, you need to preserve your body. Then what the Egyptian did, they did bring the body, and they open the body, and they take all the viscera and all the things in the body, that, and they put it in acrobic jars. They only leave the heart.
So they put the viscera in jars, but left the heart in the body.
And the heart, they leave it in the body, because the heart was the place of knowledge. And therefore, it's very important that the heart should be in the body. They put the other stuff in four jars. They call them canopic jars, because this is a place called Canopic in Alexandria. And they were topped with the faces of the four children of Horus. And after that, they bring natron, and they try to dry the body. And they put some material inside to preserve the body that we do not know. And after that, they cover the body with linen. After that, the deceased will go for the judgment hall. And therefore, they have the heart in one side and the feather of Maat, goddess of justice, in ancient Egypt, will be in the other side. If it doesn't balance, there is a huge animal is waiting to eat this person. If it balances, he will meet the god Osiris, and he will go to the afterlife to live happily. And therefore, he will put in his tomb all the artifacts that he will use in the beyond. He will put in the scenes in his tomb. This is the idealistic life that he would like to see.
Now, let me get back to making sure that the two things were balanced. Tell me again what they were trying to balance in order to safely reach the afterlife.
They have a scale. In the scale, in the right hand, they would put your heart. And in the left hand, they will put the feather of a goddess called the goddess Maat. She was the goddess of truth and justice in ancient Egypt. And that is the balance between the heart and Maat. Then if it doesn't balance, the deceased will go to the afterlife. And this is why always the deceased wanted his tomb to be protected. I found one of the tombs of in the workmen, and the man is saying that I never did anything wrong in my life. Everything I did was correct, and this is why the gods likes me. And he say, if anyone will touch my tomb, he will be eaten by a crocodile, the hippo, and the lion. It's very interesting. The tomb of the governor at Baharia Oasis, when I entered this intact tomb that dated to 500 BC, about 200 years before the mummies at Baharia Oasis, I looked at the entrance of the burial chamber, and I saw this huge sarcophagus, about 12 tons weight, have a face of a human being, surrounded by this yellow powder. It gives a bad smell, and the smell can kill. I did not understand why they put this powder. I believe they put it to protect the tomb from anyone to enter inside. And this to show how the Egyptians, throughout the ages, were really interested in trying to preserve the tomb, because this is the place that they will live forever for it. This is the place that will take them to the afterlife safely.
Now, if what was believed, if you didn't make it safely to the afterlife, what happened to you?
There is a huge animal will eat you. You will finished. You are now go to hell. This is like our belief today. Then this animal will finish you. Mm-hmm. And this person will never be going to the paradise. Then it's very important for every Egyptian from the beginning, whether he's a king or a nobleman or an official or a common man, to start building the tomb. And this is why these tombs are evidence that tells us about the life of those people and their religious belief in the afterlife.
Dr. Zahi Hawass is my guest, and he's Egypt's Undersecretary of State for the Pyramids of Giza, and he's the field director of the Baharia Oasis excavation, which has an estimated 10,000 mummies in tombs sealed over 2,000 years ago. He's the author of the new book, Valley of the Golden Mummies. Now, the Baharia Oasis has hundreds of tombs and perhaps as many as 10,000 mummies. What are your hopes? Do you want to take all these mummies and put them in museums? Would you like to leave a lot of them intact in the tombs?
I did already. I do not believe that mummies should be shown to the public. I believe that mummies should be completely protected, because do you like people to see your mummy after thousands of years? No. No one really likes to do that. And therefore, I left all the mummies that I found in situ after preserving them, and then they can live more. And I moved only 6 mummies that we will make a museum to the public, because you do not understand how this site became very famous. It became the most important famous in Egypt. When I arrived Bahria for the first time and I met a man in a cafe, and he said, "Please, sir, when you talk on the TV, mention our town." His town now became the most important and famous town in Egypt. And therefore, people will come not only to visit the temples and the tombs that existed there, but they want to see the mummies. And therefore, I moved only 6 mummies and will put them in a museum for the people to see.
So how, if you don't want people to see, tell me more about why you don't want people to see mummies. I mean, it's...
I asked you a question.
Yeah.
Do you like your body, your mummy, to be seen by people?
Well, at some point it almost feels like it's not a personal concern or a matter of discretion.
It is.
A matter of history.
No, okay, as a matter of history, I'm writing about the information about the people. But why people will come and look at them inside the tombs? What do you gain from this? This is why I took the 6 mummies for people to see. But the rest should really stay in peace, should not be disturbed by the visitors who will come with their breathing and their touching. They could destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I'm completely against the idea of opening these tombs to any visitors at all.
I wonder if it's affected your religious or spiritual life to have this kind of connection to bodies from the ancient past.
No. I'm not in general a religious man. I am looking at a human being. I'm disturbing his tomb, but I need to preserve him. I need to let him to live more for the afterlife. I do not want to damage the spiritual value of this man. It is also from the idea of a human being looking at my face. It has nothing about religion. It's just the idea of looking at the face of a human being. I mean, this is not a movie. This is someone that we want to learn from him, mm-hmm. to understand our future.
Is there a mummy that has made more of an impression on you than any other?
I always work with pyramids, as I told you. I never really liked mummies in general. But the first mummy that I excavated in the Valley of the Golden Mummies, when I was sitting and holding this brush and began to clear the eyes of that mummy, that is a mummy that touched my heart. And I tell people after that, I thought that I have only one lover, which is the pyramids. But now I have 2 lovers, the mummies.
Well, I thank you so much for talking with us, and good luck with your work.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Zahi Hawass is the author of Valley of the Golden Mummies.